Smoke walked up to the side of the stagecoach. Two hurdy-gurdy gals, tin-horn gambler, one drummer selling corsets and assorted ladies' wear, and Al Martin, a gunfighter from down Utah way, were sitting inside.
Out. Everybody. Now. Hello, Al. What's everybody's destination?
Well, drummer here is going to Hell's Creek. We all figured we'd stay here a little while.
Fine. The drummer can get back in. The rest of you come with me.
And if I don't...
Smoke knocked that gambler to the street. He faced Al Martin.
I know you, but I can't put a name to the face.
Smoke Jensen.
Really?
Driver, start moving.
I'll just have me a drink and wait for the southbound stage.
That's fine. Stay out of trouble. You ladies, get your room at the hotel and stay quiet. You're on the next stage, south. It rolls through in the morning.
The women wanted to protest, but the name Smoke Jensen had shut their mouths. So they twirled their parasols, picked up their baggage, shook their muscles, and sashayed off instead.
Off the street, Al.
Oh, sure thing, Officer Jensen.
All right, buddy. Get up. You're coming with me.
What's the charge, Marshal?
Disobeying an officer of the law and littering.
Littering?
You were lying in the street, weren't you?
Hell, man, you put me there.
Tell it to the judge. He'll have court sometime this month.
After the gambler was put away, Smoke stood outside with his new deputy, Jim. Smoke rolled one of the few cigarettes he smoked today and smiled. It was going to be an interesting summer. He was looking forward to it.
You know Al Martin's a batting, Smoke. One of Big Max Huggins' boys. He'll try you, bet on that.
He won't do it but once. Come on, I'll introduce you to my wife and we'll get something to eat. Hold that. Looks like we got some more company. Shame about how much dust they're kicking up.
Oh, that's Red Malone and his crew. Likes to ride roughshod over everybody. Owns a Lightning brand. Well, I never work for him because I don't like him and he don't like me.
Smoke walked to the middle of the street and refused to move, forcing the horseman to come to a stop.
Get out of the damn street, idiot!
You Malone?
Yeah, if it's any of your business.
There's a new law on the books, Malone. No galloping horses within the city limits.
You new here? Didn't your boss tell you that me and the boys are to be left alone?
I heard. That's changing.
Jim DeGone? Is that you? What the hell's going on around here? You got stomped in a fight a couple of nights ago and got tossed in jail. Where's Brady and Long?
Max come and got him this morning. They's all stove up after Smoke Jensen here tossed them both out a window up yonder yesterday.
Red Malone and all his men looked, first at the window, and then back at Smoke.
Jensen? You're supposed to be the fastest gun around. What are you doing in this hick town?
Helping out the people, Malone. They had some bad law enforcement here. They asked me to take over.
What did Max have to say about that?
Not a whole lot, actually. And his men were too busy washing windows and mopping up the boardwalk to say very much.
Malone silently chewed on that one for a moment. Not really sure what the hell Smoke was talking about.
Let me take him, Red.
Malone looked at his man. He wasn't worth a tinker's damn as a cowboy, but he was fast with a gun.
All right, Charlie. It's your show.
Red Malone and his crew lifted their reins and moved to the other side of the street.
Watch my back, Jim.
You got it.
I've been hearing about you for 15 years or more, Jensen. I'm sick of it.
Red Malone cut his eyes to a rooftop. Tom Johnson stood there, a rifle in his hand. Marbley from the general store stepped out of his establishment, also with a rifle in his hands. Benson from the blacksmith shop appeared to Malone's right, a double-barrel shotgun in his hands. Toby from the hotel appeared on a rooftop too, carrying a rifle. The town was solidly behind Jensen, that was for sure. Malone turned to his foreman.
John, we're out of this fight. Whatever happened between Jensen and Charlie happens. Pass the word.
John Steele looked around. more townspeople stepped out of their businesses and homes, all of them carrying weapons. Meanwhile, Smoke stood relaxed in the middle of the street. He had not taken his eyes off Charlie. The scar-faced gunny stood with his legs apart, body tensed for the draw.
You ready to die, Jensen?
Not today, friend. As a legally appointed deputy sheriff of this county, I'm ordering you to surrender your guns, Charlie. There will be no charges filed against you if you do that.
Go to hell.
You were warned.
Draw!
You should have stayed in the bunkhouse today, Charlie. No trouble in this town, Malone. No racing your horses and kicking up dust. No discharging of firearms. No foul language outside the saloon. Any of your crew gets drunk, you take them home, or me and Jim will put them in jail, and the judge will fine them. Is that understood?
Hate leapt out of Red Malone's eyes. No one talked to him like that and got away with it. He stepped out of the saddle without replying and turned his back to Smoke.
Hey, I asked you a question, Malone. I expect a reply to my face.
Red noticed that Smoke had slipped on leather gloves.
Oh, I'll give you a plow, right? To your face!
Smoke easily dodged Malone's punch, then returned one of his own straight to the breadbasket.
You're a little slow, Red. Anytime you've had enough, Red, you just holler quit.
I run this end of the county, Jensen.
A thin, middle-aged cowboy sat his saddle and cut his eyes to John Steele, Red's foreman.
Boss better Uncle Steele. Jensen's giving him a chance. If he don't, Jensen will beat him to death.
I got $20 says you're on, Sal.
You're on.
Malone finally connected, a blow to Smoke's jaw. The man was strong, no doubt about that. Smoke stepped back and Red pursued him out into the street. Red charged, trying to grab Smoke in a bear hug. Smoke danced to one side, fists ready. Malone grabbed Smoke then, and they grappled, fighting each other for leverage, until Smoke slipped a leg around Red's foot. Red came up with a fistful of dust, but Smoke knew all the tricks already. He ducked under the dust cloud and came in hard. Smoke drove Red right into a hitch rail. It shattered, and he landed in a horse trough.
One of you boys best take care of Red before he drowns.
I got him.
Now drag him over to the jail and dump him in a cell.
What? I'll be damned if I will.
Now, somebody else drag both of them to jail.
When John Steele opened his eyes, he was inside the jail cell. He glared, hated everybody on the other side of the bars, including the hand he had made the bet with. Red Malone still couldn't put two words together.
What are you looking at, Sal?
Give me my $20.
John dug in his damp pockets and threw a double eagle at the man.
Here's your damn money. And you're something else. You're fired.
Suits me.
The next time I see you, Sal, you better be ready to drag iron.
The thin, bow-legged cowboy named Sal stared at the foreman. Smoke knew that look. He had worn it himself many times. It was the look of a very dangerous and very confident man.
You best think about that, John. I helped bury a lot of better men than you.
Smoke caught Jim's eyes and tapped the star pinned to his shirt, pointing at Sal. Jim grinned and nodded his head in agreement. Smoke stepped outside and faced the rest of the Lightning crew.
You boys can have your drinks at the saloon. Buy your tobacco and needs or whatever else legal you came to town to do. Make trouble and you'll either join your bosses in jail or join Charlie in a pine box. The choice is yours.
Jim and Sal stepped out onto the boardwalk.
Hey, Sal, you know anything about deputy sheriffing?
I wore a badge a time or two.
You want a job?
Might as well, seeing as how I done been fired from cowboying.
I have to warn you, it's gonna get real interesting around here.
I expect it will. Makes the time pass faster, though. What you gonna do about Red and Steel?
Oh, I'll have them stew for a little while. Get the judge down here and have them post bond. At this rate, we'll have more bond money than we'll know what to do with.
The next day, Sal made his rounds, rattling doorknobs and looking up dark alleyways. Nothing seemed out of place. He finally caught up with Smoke and Sally.
Quiet, Smoke. I figure it'll be that way for 3, maybe 5 days, till Red gets back on his feet. And then he come gunning for you. He ain't never been whipped before now. That's the God's truth.
Walk along with us, Sal. Tell me about him.
I'll tell you what I know about him and about Max Huggins. Malone come into this area right after the Civil War. He's just a youngster, maybe 19 or so. He carved him out a place for his ranch, defended it against Injuns and outlaws. Built it up right good. He's always been on the shady side. Lie, cheat, steal, womanize. I was told his wife was a decent person. She bore him 1 son and 1 daughter. And then she took off when it got so Red was flaunting his other women in her face. He's got women all over the country.
Smoke stopped him and they sat down on a long bench in front of the barber shop. Sal pulled out the makings.
You object, ma'am?
Oh, no. Go right ahead. I'll take a puff or two of Smoke's cigarette.
Sal almost dropped the sack at that, but he kept any comments he had to himself.
Red's daughter, Tessie, is a right comely lass. But she's spoiled rotten, has the manners of a hog and the morals of a billy goat. His son Melvin's crazy, plumb loco. He likes to hurt people. He's fast, Smoke. Have mercy, but the boy is quick and a dead shot. But he's nuts. His eyes will scare you, make you back up. He's killed maybe 6 men, and they weren't none of them pilgrims neither. Red's good with the shotgun, but Melvin's near about as fast as you, Smoke. And I ain't kidding. Naturally, just as soon as Big Max come into the area, him and Red struck a deal. Max would own the law enforcement of the county, and it's a sorry bunch, and have control of the north end of the county, and Red would control the south end. Red didn't have no interest in running this town. He just wanted his share of the crooked games up in Hell's Creek and his share of the gold and greenbacks taken in robberies. In return, he'd see that no one come in here with reform on their mind. So that means, Smoke, that you gotta go. There ain't no other way for Red Max to keep on doing what they're doing. Big Max, now he's another story. Bad through and through. He's run crooked games, killed and robbed folks, and run red light houses from San Francisco to Fort Worth and north into Canada. He's a sorry excuse for a human being. I'd be happy to kill him for no other reason than to clear the air for other folks.
I can see why Max settled here.
Sure. Wild country. One road running north and south, one road running east and west. No trains yet. Proper law ain't reached this part of the territory yet. Except for this little town, that is. It seems like you're getting rid just about all the bad seeds, Smoke.
Yeah, except one.
Yeah, who?
Right across the way there, lounging in front of the hotel with that cigar. Al Martin.
Right. He's made it pretty clear he's not gonna get run out of town. So, how you gonna deal with this guy?
Let's find out. Excuse us, Sally.
Surely.
He's quick with either hand. I've seen him work.
Al Martin saw the two men coming. He tossed his cigar into the dirt and stepped out into the street. He brushed back his coat, exposing the butts of his .45s.
Step aside, Sal. One more chance, Al. You can rent a horse at the livery and ride south.
I'm heading north.
Not through this town.
You don't have the right to do that.
I'm doing it, Al.
Joe Walsh, the owner of the Circle W, had left his ranch early with two of his men to buy supplies in Barlow. The men stood in front of Bonnie's cafe and watched. Joe had heard of Smoke Jensen for years, but he had never seen him until now. He was pretty damn impressed by this first sighting. He'd heard of what had happened to Red, and that amused him. If any man had a beating coming to him, it was Red and Max Huggins. But Joe wondered if Smoke was good enough to take the huge Max Huggins.
Last chance, Al. I'm ordering you to leave this town immediately.
You know where you can stick that order, Jensen.
Then make your play, Al.
Al went for his guns. He got both barrels of the .45s halfway out of leather before Smoke even drew. Ow. Joe Walsh just about dropped his supplies. The man was so quick it was a blur. Smoke walked up to Al Martin. The gunfighter looked up at him.
Give me a decent burying. One fit in a human being.
I would, if you were a decent human being.
Joe Walsh left his hands to walk up to Smoke.
Mr. Jensen?
Yeah.
Joe Walsh. I own the Circle W.
Nice to meet you.
Good to have some decent law enforcement around here. I noticed you've got Jim DeGone as a deputy. How'd you get him off the jug?
I told him I'd stomp his guts out and feed what was left to the hogs if he ever took another drink.
Well, he's a good boy. I would have rehired him in a day or two, but I think he's better off than what you got him doing. Sal's a good man, too.
I think so.
Watch your back when you ride out in the county. Red Malone, don't forget or forgive. I'll tell the wife you're in town. You and your missus come out to the ranch anytime for dinner. We'd love the company.
I'll do it.
As Joe Walsh walked off, Sal walked up.
Sal, you and Jim watch the town. I'm going to lay in some supplies and take a ride. I'll be gone for a couple of days getting the lay of the land.
Yeah, watch yourself, Smoke. Red's probably sent the word out for gun hands.
You and Jim start toting sawed-off shotguns, Sal. Any gun slicks that come in, either move them on or bury them.
You got it.
I'll see you in 2 or 3 days.
Smoke rode out of the valley and into the high country. The high lonesome, old preacher had called it. It pulled at a man, always luring him back to its beauty. The valley was surrounded by high, snow-capped peaks, with the lower ridges providing good summer graze for the cattle. Smoke had checked out the boundaries of the lightning spread at the surveyor's office, and he carefully avoided Malone's range. Keeping Mount Evans to his right, Smoke rode toward Hell's Creek. He wasn't concerned about Sally's friends being worried about their not showing up, because by now everybody in the county knew Smoke was in Barlow. He only hoped the doctor and his wife had sense enough to keep their mouths shut about their being friends with Sally.
Hello, the farm.
A man in bib overalls came out of the barn and took a long look at Smoke. Then he went back in and returned carrying a rifle.
If you be friendly, come on and have some coffee. If you come to make trouble for us, my woman and my two boys have rifles on you from the house.
I'm the new marshal at Barlow. The name is Smoke Jensen.
Lord have mercy. Come on in and put your boots under our table. The wife nearabout's got the nooning ready to dish up.
The fare was simple but well cooked and plentiful, consisting of hearty stew made with beef and potatoes and carrots and onions, along with huge loaves of fresh baked bread. Smoke did not have to be told twice to dive in.
So, you're the new marshal.
Yep. Working on getting things in order. Big Mac stopped by and dirtied up the place. Made his men clean up after themselves. Jailed a few gun slicks and sent some lowlifes back down south. I think the town's really starting to turn around.
Did you meet Red?
Red Malone. I whooped him.
Lord have mercy. You whooped Red Malone? I'd give $10 to see that. Oh, where's my manners? My name's Brown. This here's my wife, Ellie. And my boys here are Ralph and Elias. It's real nice to meet you, Mr. Jensen.
I stopped going into Barlow because of the hoodlums and the trash, Mr. Jensen. And I certainly wouldn't be caught dead in Hell's Creek.
I can understand that, Mrs. Brown. I surely can.
I can take the wagon and go into town about once every 3 months. We're pretty well set up here. I got me a mill down on the creek. and we grind our own corn and such, haul my grain and taters into town come harvest. Yeah, we get by.
You got neighbors?
Oh, sure. Right over the field yonder is Gatewood. Just south of him is Morrison. Beyond that is Cooter's place. And just north of me is Bowling and Carson. We done that deliberate when we come out here. 20 minutes of hard riding, we can have 12 or 15 guns at anybody's house.
Smart. Has Max Huggins ever given you any trouble?
Yes, he has, Mr. Smoke. His damned old gun hands has ruined more than one garden and killed hogs and chickens. They killed the only milk cow Bolin had, and his baby girl needed that milk. His woman had dried up, and the baby died.
Who led the gang that did it?
Vic, they call him. Vic Young.
I know of him. He's poison mean.
He's got him a widow woman he sees about 5 miles from here.
Does he now?
Be fair and tell it all.
You're right, Mother. I'm not being fair to the woman. Martha Feckles, that's the widow's name, does sewing for them painted ladies in Hell's Creek. Now, she's a good woman. She's got to make a living for her and her youngins, that's all. This trash Vic, he come up to her place one night and, well, took advantage of her.
He beat her up bad, Mr. Smoke. Miss Martha, she's got a daughter who's 13. Her name's Aggie. Vic told Martha if she didn't go on seeing him, he'd do the same to Aggie. I ought to kill him.
Elias, hush that kind of talk. That man's a gunfighter.
You listen to your ma, Elias. You have a right to defend hearth and home and kith and kin. But you leave the gunfighting to me. Well, this food was real good. But I'll be riding now. You all feel free to come shop in Barlow. We'll soon have us a newspaper and a school teacher and a preacher. I thank you for the meal.
Smoke reached into his pocket and pulled out a double eagle.
Oh, now, Mr. Jensen, I can't accept that.
Buy some ammunition with that. It's going to get real salty in the valley before long.
Smoke rode over to the Widow Feckles' house and made a slow circle of the grounds around the neat little home before riding up to the gate. A girl opened the front door and stepped out onto the porch. She looked to be about 13 or 14, and Smoke pegged her as Aggie.
Good morning. I'm the new marshal over at Barlow. Don't be afraid of me. I'm here to help, not hurt you and your mother.
Are you really Smoke Jensen?
Yes, I am. Is your name Aggie?
How'd you know that?
I nooned over at the Brown Farm. Thought I'd come over and say hello to you and your ma. She home?
I'll fetch her for you.
Soon, a very pretty woman stepped out onto the porch and smiled at Smoke.
Mr. Jensen, I'm Martha Feckles. Please come in. I've just made a fresh pot of coffee.
The sitting room was small but neat. The furniture, old and worn, but clean.
You go look after your brother, Aggie, and don't stray from the house.
Yes, Mama.
When the girl had left the room, Smoke looked straight at Martha.
Are you expecting Vic Young?
Apparently, the Browns spoke out of turn, sir.
I don't think so. I think they spoke because they're worried about you. You're in a bad situation, not of your doing, and they'd like to see you clear of it.
I'll never be free of Vic.
Oh, you'll be free of him, Martha. You can write that down in your diary. When do you expect him again?
This evening.
Smoke studied the woman. She was under a strain. He could see that in her eyes and on her face. And he could also see the remnants of a bruise on her jaw.
Did Vic strike you, Martha?
Many times. He likes to beat up women. And he's killed women before, Mr. Jensen. He brags about it. I have to protect Aggie. I have to do his bidding for her sake.
No longer, Martha. You'll not see Vic Young again. That's a promise.
If you put him in jail, he'll come back when he gets out and really make it difficult for us.
I don't intend to put him in jail, Martha. I intend to kill him.
I'll be much beholden to you if you saw to it that Vic did not come around here again. I can mend your shirts. I can do washing and iron and
Enough, Martha. Do you have friends who would take you in for the night?
Why, certainly.
I'll hitch up your buggy, and you take the children and go to your friends for the night. You come back in the morning, all right?
If you say so, Mr. Jensen.
After they had gone, Smoke put his horse up in the small barn, closed the door securely, and walked the grounds, getting the feel of the place. Once he was back in the house, he read for a time. dozed off and slept for a half an hour, waking up refreshed. Then he made a pot of strong coffee and waited. Just as dusk was settling around the high country, Smoke heard the horse approaching. He stood up and slipped the hammer thong from his .44s. He worked the guns in and out of leather and walked softly to the front door.
Get ready, baby. Get that sweet little girl of yours ready, too. Time for her to get bred.
Smoke's face tightened. He felt rage well up, but only his eyes showed what was boiling inside him.
You hear me? I said...
Who the hell are...
No more, Vic. You won't terrorize a good woman anymore.
Who the hell are you?
My name is Jensen. Smoke Jensen.
You rode a long ways to die, Jensen.
You're trash, Vic. Pure crud. Just like the man you work for.
No man calls me that and lives.
I just did, Vic. And I'm still living.
Where's Martha and Aggie?
Safe. And I intend to see they remain safe.
You got no call to come meddling in a man's personal business.
I do when the man is trash like you.
I'm tired of all this jibber-jabber, Jensen. You tell me where my woman is at, and then you hit the trail.
You got any kin you want me to notify, Vic?
Notify about what?
Your death.
You may be a big shot where you come from, Jensen, but you ain't shit to me.
Then make your move.
You alone, Jensen?
I don't need any help in dealing with scum like you, Vic.
I'm warning you, Jensen. Don't call me that no more.
Or you'll do what, Vic? I'll tell you what you'll do. Nothing. You woman beaters are all alike. Cowards. Punks. Come on, Vic. Make your play.
Oh, hell with you. I'll just ride on, Jensen.
No, Vic. I won't allow that. You just find some other poor woman to terrorize. Some child to molest. It's over, Vic. You'll kill no more women.
They had it coming to them. All I wanted from them was what a woman was put on earth to give to a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I ain't gonna stand here and take this. Drag iron, Jensen!
After you, punk.
Vic's hand dropped to his gun. Vic stumbled and went down on one knee.
You... You're dead, Jensen. Big Max has put money on your head. Big money. He...
Smoke had found $100 in gold coins in the man's pockets. He left those, the man's gun belt, and a note explaining what happened on Martha's kitchen table. Then he took Vic's body and horse with him to Hell's Creek. It was late when he arrived on the hill overlooking the bawdy town. Lights were blazing in nearly every building. Smoke dismounted and approached Vic's horse.
Get on! Yeah.
Then he waited. He didn't have to wait too long. Smoke watched the shadowy figures untie the body of Vic Young and lower it to the ground. He couldn't hear what the men were saying, but he could make a good guess. Every rowdy and punk and gun handler in the town would have known Vic was seeing Widow Feckles, and everyone would know that she was being forced into acts of passion with Vic. And since none of the sodbusters would have the nerve to face Vic, it had to have been the Widow Feckles who just did Vic in. Yeah. Smoke mounted and headed into town.
Let's burn her out! I'll get the kerosene!
Hey! Martha Feckles had nothing to do with killing Vic. I killed him.
Who the hell are you?
Smoke Jensen.
Jensen? Let's get him, boys!
With the Winchester, it was like shooting clay ducks in a shooting gallery.
Ride, Star!
Smoke spun Star around and headed for the high country, leaving a trail a drunken city slicker could follow. About 5 miles outside of town, Smoke found what he was looking for and reined up. Smoke reloaded his rifle on the run, taking it and his saddlebags down to the rocks just below where he had left Star in a narrow draw. He didn't have long to wait. Two men were blown from their saddles.
Oh, Hold on! Now, goddammit, he's around here somewhere!
Smoke held his fire, watching the men cautiously edge toward his position under a starry sky and moon-bright night. With a grin, he opened his saddlebags and took out a stick of dynamite. He had a dozen other sticks in the bag. He capped the stick of giant powder and set a very short fuse.
Son of a bitch! He's got dynamite! Leave the bodies! We gotta get out of here!
Smoke let the survivors make their retreat, even though he could have easily dropped them.
Tomorrow's always another day.
Smoke visited Martha Feckles the next morning, and he assured her that Vic would not be coming back, and that the men of Hell's Creek knew it was him that was responsible, not her. But Smoke knew that might not stop the men from trying something against Martha anyway, so he suggested she reside in Barlow for a little while. He figured she and her daughter could use the change of scenery anyways. She gratefully agreed, and the town got two new residents. Big Max Huggins just sat in his office and stared at the wall. His thoughts were dark and violent. Jensen had been responsible for the deaths of 9 of his men the night before. Smoke's actions would put steel into the backbones of those in Barlow. A raid against the town would be suicide, even though he had some of the best guns in the West, either on his payroll or working out of the town on a percentage basis of their robberies. Max's earlier boast that he would just wait Smoke out was proven to be a hollow brag. Jensen was bringing the fight to him. So, it was a stroke of good luck that he just happened to have invited some friends of his over from Europe. He figured they'd be arriving just in time. As the days progressed, the good ladies of Barlow welcomed Martha Feckles and her children with open arms. The mayor gave her a small building to use for her sewing, and Judge Garrison, now that he was free of the heavy hand of Max Huggins, was proven to be a decent sort of fella. He staked Martha for a dress shop. The preacher and school teacher had arrived in town, and the newspaper man was due in any time. Some of those who had left when Max first put on the pressure were returning. Barlow now had a population of nearly 400, and growing. The jail was nearly full. Each time the stage ran north, Smoke jerked out any gamblers, gunfighters, and whores who might be on it and turned them around. If they kicked up a fuss, they were tossed in the clink, fined, and were usually more than happy to catch the next stage out, south. A deputy U.S. Marshal, on his way up to British Columbia to bring back a prisoner, decided to stop by and see what all the fuss was about. He knew all about Hell's Creek and Big Max Huggins, but until somebody complained to the government, there was little they could do. He knew the sheriff, the city marshal, and all the deputies in Hell's Creek were crooked as snakes. But the outlaws working out of there never bothered anyone with a federal badge, and as far as he knew, there were no federal warrants on anyone in the town, at least not under the names they were going by now.
Smoke, I've heard you've been harassing people on their way to Hell's Creek, throwing them in jail if they don't turn back.
You gonna report what I'm doing?
Hell no, man. But I can tell you that the word's gone out, up and down the line. You're a marked man. Huggins has put the big money on your head. And I'm talking enough money to bring in some mercenaries from Europe.
Well, that's a new piece of information. Are they in the country?
As near as the Secret Service can tell, yes. Two long-distance shooters, Henri Dubois and Paul Mittermeier, are on their way out west right now. Our office has sent out flyers to you. We know what you're doing here. We can't give you our blessings, but we can close our eyes.
Thanks. Dubois and Mittermeier, Frenchman and a German?
Yep, and they're good.
I don't like back shooters. I tell you now, Marshal, if I see him, I'm gonna kill him.
Suits me, Smoke.
Good hunting.
Well, seems like things are heating up.
Sounds like it.
What do you want us to do?
Pass the word to all the farmers and ranchers. Any strangers, especially those speaking with an accent. I want to know about it. You boys watch your backs.
Those European boys are going to be toting some fancy custom-made rifles. I see one. I'm going to plug them on the spot and apologize later if I'm wrong.
You know what this tells me? It tells me that Max is in a bind. What we're doing is working. We can't legally stop and permanently block freight shipments to Hell's Creek, but we can hold them up and make them open up every box and crate for search. And I mean a very long and tedious search. It won't take long for freight companies to stop accepting orders from Hell's Creek.
Oh, you got sneaky mind, Smoke. I like it.
Well, the last freight wagons rolled through a week ago. Ought to be another convoy tomorrow, I figure.
Okay. Sal, you get a couple of town boys. Give them a dollar apiece to stand watch about 2 miles south of town. As soon as they hear the wagons, one of them can come fogging back to town for us. Everything going north has got to pass through here.
Smoke knew that one sure way to kill a town was to dry up its supply line. Big Max was not going to like this. Not one damn bit.
Halt!
Afternoon, Marshal. How's the day going?
Fine for me. Unload your wagons.
What? Why?
Do it, or you're going straight to jail.
What are y'all looking for?
Contraband. Unload your wagons.
What? All the wagons? Everything in them?
All the wagons. Everything in them.
Good God almighty damn.
The Teamsters unloaded the wagons, and Smoke and Jim and Sal went to work with pry bars. With his back to the Teamsters, Smoke pulled a small packet from under his shirt and dropped it in a box.
Check this box, Sal. I'll be opening some others.
Right, Smoke. Hey, Marshal. I got something that looks funny.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, the box says it's supposed to have whiskey in it. But this ain't whiskey.
What is it?
Darn if I know. Take a look.
Sal handed the packet to Smoke. Smoke had found the contents way in the back of the safe in the marshal's office. It was several thousand dollars of badly printed counterfeit greenbacks.
Hey, these greenbacks look phony to me.
What's that you're holding?
Counterfeit money. This is real serious. You could be in a lot of trouble.
Me? I ain't done nothing.
You're hauling this funny money.
Well, that's true, but it sure as hell ain't mine.
I believe you. But this entire shipment is going to have to be seized and held for evidence.
Marshal, you can have it all. Me and my boys work for a living. We're not printing no government money.
Is this shipment prepaid?
Yes, sir. Everything sent to Hell's Creek is paid for in advance. That's the only way the boss would agree to do business with them thugs up yonder.
So you and your men would prefer not to do business in Hell's Creek?
That's the gospel truth, Mr. Jensen. There ain't a one of us like to run past Barlow.
All right, boys. You're free to turn around and head on back. We're sorry to have inconvenienced you.
Thanks, Marshal. Sorry about this. Yeah.
The men stood amid the mounds of box supplies.
Sal, go get some wagons and men from town. We gotta store all this stuff.
Huh, Max is gonna toss himself a royal fit when he hears about this. This here's food and supplies for a month.
Yeah, I figure they probably got a month's supplies left on the shelves. After that, things are gonna get desperate in Hell's Creek.
You know, Smoke, Max can't let you get away with this. His men would lose all respect for him.
Yeah, I know. This may be the fuel to pop the lid off. What's the latest on Red Malone?
Not a peep. I expect he's still recovering from that beating you gave him.
He's gotta have a meeting with Max. They'll get together and try to plan some way to get rid of me.
No way to cover all the trails up to Hell's Creek. Must be a dozen, probably a few more that I don't even know about.
Oh, I wouldn't try to do that. But I was thinking, Red has to buy supplies, and he buys them in Barlow. It would be too time-consuming and costly to go anywhere else. Marbley hates Red. He never did knuckle under to him. He figures he has the right to refuse service to anyone he damn well pleases.
Oh, now that'd tick Red off. He'd go right through the ceiling.
I'm counting on it, Jim.
He did what?
The outlaw Val Singer braced himself to tell Big Max the story.
Smoke took our supplies. There was apparently contraband, so he took all of it for evidence. It's not coming, boss.
That's why the damn supplies didn't arrive yesterday. Jensen, that low-life, no-good, lousy son of a whore!
Yeah, we should burn that damn town.
Ah, they'd rebuild it.
Grab some of their kids, then?
I've been giving that some thought for a fact. But we'd have to be very careful doing it, Val. Very subtle.
The daughter of Martha Feckles is prime. She could pleasure a lot of us.
Big Max had thought of Aggie a time or two for a fact. And something ugly reared up within him when he thought of Aggie.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Days passed, and there was no retaliation from either Big Max or Red Malone. And that worried Smoke. He warned everybody in town to keep a careful eye on their kids. He warned the women to never walk alone. He visited everyone who lived just outside of town, too, as well as the small ranchers and farmers, repeating his message of caution at every stop. When he returned to Barlow, he pulled up in front of his office and swung down, curious about the horses tied to the hitch rail. He didn't recognize the brand. The door to his office opened, and several men filed out. One of them wearing the badge of sheriff of the county.
You, Jensen?
That's right.
I'm Paul Cartwright. I'll take your badge, Jensen. I name my deputies.
This badge is legal, partner. Judge Garrison swore me in, and he has the power to do it. So that means that you can go straight to hell.
The county sheriff poked a finger in Smoke's face.
Now let me tell you something.
Don't you ever stick your finger in my face again. The next time you do it, I'll break it off at the elbow and put it in a place that'll have you riding side saddle for a long time.
Sal and Jim stepped out of the office, both of them carrying sawed-off shotguns. It made the sleazebag sheriff's deputies awfully nervous.
I remember reading about you, Cartwright. You served time in California for stealing while you were a lawman out there. Get out of this town.
I'll be damned if I will. I'm the sheriff of this county, and no two-bit gunslinger tells me what to do.
Smoke grabbed the wild swing and tossed him right off the boardwalk. Cartwright pulled his gun.
All right, you bastard. Let's see how you...
Smoke kicked out and the .45 flew from Cartwright's hand. Smoke jerked the man to his boots. Then he proceeded to beat the living hell out of him. The editor of the paper, Henry Draper, grabbed his brand new up-to-date camera and rushed out of his office. Joe Walsh and several of his hands came into town just as Smoke was putting on the finishing touches. The rancher sat his saddle and watched, amusement on his face and in his eyes. Smoke washed his face and hands in a horse trough, picked up his hat, and settled it back on his head. He looked up at Cartwright's deputies.
Get this trash off my streets and out of my town, and don't come back. Move it!
Joe Walsh walked up to Smoke.
You do have way-making friends, Smoke.
Let's just say I leave lasting impressions. Stick around, Joe. We'll have some coffee in a minute. Sal, when did Cartwright get here?
About an hour ago. He's full of it, too. They're running scared, Smoke. All of them up at Hell's Creek. Cartwright said that Big Max can't get a freight company to haul goods up to him. He's trying to get goods pulled in from that new settlement to the west of him. But the marshal over there told him to go take a dump in his hat.
Well, I feel I speak for all my boys, Smoke. When you need us, you just give a holler. We'll ride with you.
I appreciate it. Max won't stand still and get pushed around much longer. I expect some retaliation from Hell's Creek at any moment. Unfortunately, I don't have any idea in what form it might be. They might go for our women or our kids. I've been telling everybody around to keep an eye out.
A man who would harm a kid is scum. I suggest we keep a rope handy.
Smoke turned to face the crowd that had gathered to watch the beating.
Any women here who doesn't know how to shoot, my wife will be conducting classes.
She doesn't know that yet, but I'm sure she'll be more than willing.
Neighborly of her.
You better watch out, Tom. Ella Mae learns to shoot. She's liable to fill your butt full of birdshot the next time you come home tipsy.
Tom Johnson grinned out of his suddenly red face. Tom did like his evening whiskey at the saloon.
You're a fine one to talk, Benson. I remember the time your woman tossed you out of the house with nothing but your long handles on.
The crowd got back to the business of the day.
That laughter's good to hear. These folks have been down for a long time. I'm glad to see them back on their feet and standing tall. And you're responsible for straightening their backbone, Smoke.
Smoke had been curious about something, and he figured now was the time to ask it.
Why didn't you do it, Joe?
I wondered when you'd get around to asking that. It's a fair question. Me and the wife left right after Roundup 3 years ago. Took us a trip to see San Francisco. Spent all summer in California, up and down the coast. We left right around the first day of May, and didn't come back until late September. Hell, Smoke. It was all over by then. Big Max had built Hell's Creek. Him and Red Malone was in cahoots around here. And Big Max's outlaws had cut the heart right out of this town. I spent the next year just protecting my herds and my land. Red tried his damnedest to run me out, but I wouldn't go. I lost 4 good men.
No way you can prove it was Red?
Nah. I tried, though. It's on record at the territorial capital. I raised some hell about it, and that, and with me and the boys fighting the Night Riders, brought an end to it. They all wore hoods. I was never able to get a look at any of them, but I did recognize the horses. Unfortunately, that won't cut it in court.
Walsh's eyes darted towards Sally as she stepped out of the hotel.
My wife was looking forward to you and your missus coming out, but I told her we'd have to get this situation with Red and Max taken care of first. Then we'll socialize.
Yeah, my leaving town now for any length of time wouldn't be wise. Hey, I got an idea. How about a community dance and box supper?
You took those thoughts right out of my head, honey. Hi, Joe.
Ma'am, you know, I think that's a good idea.
And I know just how to keep Max and Red in check while we're having it.
How?
We'll invite them.
Joe Walsh rode back to the ranch, smiling as he went. There was no way a Western man was going to turn down an invitation for a box supper and a dance with some really nice ladies. And both Max and Red would know that if anyone's place was torched that night, the fires could be seen for miles, and there was no way either of them would leave Barlow alive.
You know, Joe, I had my mind all made up not to like Smoke Jensen, but I sure changed my mind. He's a right nice fella.
Yes, he is, Curly. I had my mind all made up to dislike the man, too. Shows how wrong a man can be.
This shindig will be right fun, I think. Been a long time since we had a good box supper and dance. Be a damn good time to put lead in Max Huggins and Red Malone, too.
See none of that, Curly. Not unless they open the ball. Too much a chance that women and kids would get hit.
With Jensen leading the pack, we could ride into Hell's Creek and wipe it out. I don't see why we don't do that.
It might come to that, Curly.
Just as long as the blood spilled comes out of Max Huggins and Red Malone and them that ride for him, I'll be satisfied.
Big Max stared at his invitation for a long time, being careful not to smudge the creamy bond paper. Larry Gale broke his stunned reverie.
Why would they even invite you and Red?
Well, because if I'm there and any trouble's caused by our men, I'd be gunned down on the spot. Slick, very slick.
So then don't go.
Nope, won't work either. If both I and Red don't attend, Jensen and the others would be put on alert that something was going to happen out in the county. It'd be open season for any lightning rider or gun hand from Hell's Creek caught out after dark. We'll be attending the shindig. And tell the others, there better not be any trouble out in the county. Everybody holds the reins tight on their boys, and I mean tight.
It might be a trap.
No, I don't think so. The people of Barlow are going to let off a little steam, that's all. This is their way of ensuring that they can do so without fear of any trouble. And by God, there isn't going to be any trouble. Those are my orders. See that they're carried out.
Meanwhile, Red Malone, who had finally recovered from his beating at the fists of Smoke Jensen, was staring hard and long at his own invitation. He laid it on his desk and stared at it some more.
We going, ain't we, Daddy?
Red turned his head and stared at his daughter, Tessie, all blonde and pretty and pouty and as worthless as her brother, Melvin. Now, Red loved them both, as much as Red Malone could love anything. But he did realize he had sired a whore and a nut.
I don't know.
But I got me a brand new dress I got out of that catalog. dance and have some fun!
Red wondered who she was bedding down with this time around. That girl had more bows than a dog had fleas.
Daddy, come on! I never get to do anything!
I said I'd think about it. Now go tell the cook to get dinner on the table. I'm hungry.
Oh, shoot!
Tessie left the room shaking her butt like a hurdy-gurdy girl.
Why didn't that wife of mine take the damn kids when she left?
Hello, honey. What's new?
Max has accepted. This note came on the southbound stage a few minutes ago.
Sounds great. One down and one to go. No word from Red yet?
No, nothing.
Smoke, Melvin Malone's riding in. He's crazy as a skunk.
Well, let's hope he's just bringing the news from his father.
Smoke removed the hammer thongs from his 44s as he stepped out. He'd heard too much about Melvin to be careless around him. He watched the young man swing down from the saddle, being careful to keep the horse between himself and Smoke. He was no amateur. Melvin stepped up on the boardwalk, studying Smoke as hard as Smoke was studying him. Melvin was about 6 feet tall and well-built, heavily muscled. He was handsome in a cruel sort of way. He wore two guns, the holsters tied down. The spurs he wore were big, roweled ones, the kind that would hurt a horse. And Melvin looked like the type who would enjoy hurting a horse.
Jensen, I'm Mel Malone.
Nice to see you, Mel. What's on your mind?
My pa said to give you a message. We'll be coming to the dance and box supper.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mel. Yes, sir. Sure am. You be sure and tell Red I'm looking forward to seeing him again. He is feeling all right now, isn't he?
Yeah. He feels just fine.
That's good. Your sister Tessie makes a pretty good box supper, does she?
My sister couldn't fry an egg if the hen told her how.
Well, some women just never get the knack of cooking, Mel. Tell Red to take it easy now.
Smoke turned and walked across the street, leaving Melvin alone on the boardwalk feeling downright stupid. Little by little, in small groups, Red's hands began drifting back into town for a drink or a meal or to buy this and that. So far, Red had not tried to buy any supplies from Marbley. That rancher was going to be in for a rude shock when he did. Red's hands caused no trouble when in town. They had all noticed that every man in town was packing iron. The bartender, the editor of the Bugle, the store clerks, everybody. And they promptly took that news back to Red.
And that's it, John. We gotta make a move and do it quick before the town really gets together and runs our butts out of the county. And they'll do it eventually, believe me.
Before the dance, Red?
No, after it. Maybe a week after it. Max has got some long-distance shooters coming in from Europe. Now, we'll get things firmed up with Max after the party.
Take Jensen out first?
I don't know. Might be better to start working on the townspeople. Whatever Max decides to do, we gotta back him up. Now, that's the deal we made, and I'm good on it.
Morning, Jim. Any news?
Telegraph.
Yeah? Who from?
U.S. Federal Marshal's Office. Not signed.
I see. I got an idea who from. What's it say?
Mercenaries left St. Louis this a.m. Stop. No charges against Dubois or Mittermeier. Stop. They are unaware of what is taking place in your area. Stop. Watch your back and handle situation as you see fit. That's it. Why are you smiling?
You tell me.
I have no idea.
They have to come right through here. This is Rail's End. From here to Barlow is either by horseback or stage. And I'm betting they take the stage. Any trouble that happens out in the county, you and Sal handle it. Starting day after tomorrow, I've got to meet the stage.
What you got in mind?
Not completely sure yet, but it just might be fun.
You reckon the Frenchman and the German will see the humor in it?
Somehow I doubt it, Jim. I really do.
The saloons are running out of whiskey, Max, and the boys is getting right testy.
Yeah, I had me 5 boxes of cigars on that shipment Jensen seized, too. I can't find any freight haulers to handle our orders.
Max, the boys ain't gonna stand still for this very much longer. They all got cash money to spend and nothing to buy. Something has got to pop, and damn soon.
I'll talk to the boys. Damn it! He's just one man. Just one man. He's not a god. He's not invincible. There has to be a way.
Oh, there he is. Me and Val and the others been talking.
Yeah? What you got in mind, Larry?
Wipe the town out. Kill every man, woman, and child. It can be done, and you know it. A fire. Fires happen all the time, Max. We pick a night with a good strong wind, and that town would go up like a tinderbox. You think about that.
The people would still remain, Larry.
Maybe not. Maybe not enough of them to do any good. See, lots of folks die in town fires, and charred skin don't show no bullet holes.
That's a good plan. You ever killed a child?
Oh, yeah. I gut shot a kid during his bank stick-up. Squalled like a hog at butchering time. I shot him in the head to shut him up. I shot half a dozen or more riding with bloody Bill Anderson. All the boys has. It ain't no big deal.
Max nodded his head in agreement. He had also killed several children, accidentally and deliberately, during his bloody life. They got in the way, they were disposed of. It was all a matter of one's personal survival.
What do you think?
That would take a lot of planning. And the men would have to be chosen carefully. The ones who don't ride on the raid must never know what took place. Was that possible?
Oh, yeah. 40 men could pull it off. Any more than that would be too many. Most of the men here would keep their mouths shut about it. Out of the whole bunch, maybe 10 might blab later on.
Dispose of them now, Larry. Once that's done, we start planning on destroying the town.
You got it, boss.
Something was nagging at Smoke. Something was wrong, and Smoke could not pull it out of his brain. But then it came to him. The town lacked adequate water barrels for bucket brigades in case of fire. Swiftly, he sent Jim out to round up Tom Johnson, Judge Garrison, and several others in the town.
Tom, what's the drill in case of fire?
There isn't any.
There will be by dark. Judge, alert the people. I want water barrels by every store and every house, buckets placed nearby. I want those barrels to stay full at all times. We have an old pumper down at the livery stable. See that it's checked out and the hoses inspected for leaks. Benson, you're in charge of the fire brigade.
You're thinking Max might try burning us out?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'll start rounding up volunteers to clear out the brush and other cover that surrounds the town. I'll ride out to Joe's place and see if he'll lend us some hands to help. Check out and destroy any place where sharpshooters could hide and pick us off. Get on it now, Sal.
Will do.
Max would do it, too. He told me when he first confronted me that if I didn't do exactly as he said, he'd pick out a child and kill her in front of me. I didn't like what I was doing, but I figured it was the only way to save some children's lives.
I understand, Judge. If we can get most of this done by the dance night and keep a close eye on Max to check his reaction, we can know pretty well that he had burning us out in mind. Then he'll have to come up with another plan.
What you gonna do with them mercenaries when they step off the stage, Smoke?
Oh, welcome them to town, Jim. Roll out the red carpet. We got a letter today, Sally. Looks like it's from Victoria.
Smoke gave the letter to Sally and waited until she had read it.
She says there's been a rash of killings in Hell's Creek. Outlaws killing outlaws. One of them managed to escape from the town and came to Robert for treatment. He told Robert that Big Max had ordered the killings. He didn't know why, but that something big was up. Then the man died. Robert, he's no fool, took the body back to Hell's Creek and told Big Max he had found the body on the road and thought it should be reported to the authorities. Big Max thanked him for being such a civic-minded person and told Robert he'd take care of it. Max knows that Robert is scared to try to leave because of the threats he made against Lisa. What does it mean, Smoke?
Probably that Val Singer and the other gang leaders are getting rid of those they feel might not be able to keep their mouths shut once something big goes down. So much for honor among thieves.
And this something big is...
probably a raid against the town. Sally, have the hotel pack me a beta food. I'm going to take a little trip. I should be back by late tomorrow afternoon. I'll arrange for Jim and Sal to meet the stage in case Dubois and Mittermeier should arrive. But I think it's still a couple of days early for that.
Where are you going, honey?
To get the one thing this town needs, Sally. A doctor.
Smoke checked the land office and found out where the Turner spread was located. He spared his horse, resting often, and rode into Big Max Huggins' country well after dark. He avoided the town by several miles and pulled up at what he hoped was the Turner spread about 10 o'clock. He circled the house to see if they kept the dog and was relieved to find that they did not. Smoke picketed Star and slipped up toward the house. He saw a shape move against a lit window and flattened himself against the woodshed.
Dr. Turner. Take it easy, Doctor. I'm friendly. I'm gonna walk towards you, both my hands in plain sight, okay?
Who are you?
The name's Jensen. Smoke Jensen.
Smoke walked closer.
Well, hold it right there. I have a gun.
No, you don't. Even if you did, it's doubtful you'd know how to use it.
Smoke stopped a few feet from the man and stared at him.
If you're Smoke Jensen, tell me about yourself.
My wife's name is Sally. She went to college back east with your wife, Victoria. She calls her Vicky. Vicky lost her parents while she was in school and had to work very hard to get through. You have one child that lived, Lisa. Your wife can't have any more children. Sally got a letter from Vicky today, telling us about the recent killings in Hell's Creek and the outlaw who staggered up to this ranch and told you about it.
Enough. Welcome to our home, Mr. Jensen. You gave me a hell of a fright.
I do apologize for that, Dr. Turner, but we don't have much time. Things are going to blow wide open around here very soon, and you and your family have got to get clear. Let's go in the house and talk.
Lisa was in bed, asleep. Vicky was introduced to Smoke. She stepped back and inspected him, good humor in her eyes.
Sally could always pick them. You are one hell of a man, Smoke Jensen.
Vicky.
It's all right, Robert. Sally can occasionally let the words fly herself. I can see why these two were friends at school.
How about some coffee and something to eat, Smoke?
That'd be nice. While I'm eating, you two can pack.
Pack? Where are we going?
You're getting out of here. Things have been getting pretty bad, and I feel they're going to get even worse real soon. Max's men are starting to kill their own. We think they're getting rid of those that may talk later. They're planning something big, like destroying the whole town of Barlow. Now, as far as the ranch goes, if Max burns the buildings down, you've still got the land. You don't have any cattle or hands. You can always rebuild. You can't do anything from the grave. So pack, we're pulling out.
What's going on?
Lisa, you're not asleep.
All this talking woke me up. Are you Smoke Jensen?
That I am. It's a pleasure to meet you, little lady. I'm surprised you fellas don't have a dog, to be honest.
I did. Patches was his name. A man killed it a few months ago.
An unsavory character named Warner Frigo rode up into the yard and shot him. It was another one of Max Huggins' little, not-too-subtle warnings.
Well, Lisa, we'll get you another dog real soon. How about that?
I'd like that, Mr. Smoke. I really, really would. That Frigo is a bad man.
That's right, Lisa. That's exactly right. Don't you worry about Frigo. I'll take care of him. Let's go, people. We've got a long haul ahead of us.
You know, I've grown to love this old house. I pray that Max and his hooligans will let it stand. But if they don't, we'll rebuild.
That's the spirit. But you might decide to relocate down in Barlow.
Why would we do that?
Because I intend to destroy Hell's Creek. That's why.